The recent Facebook scandal showed the need for large organizations to protect the data they have about individuals. But sometimes citizens have trouble accessing their own data, especially their own electronic medical records. Now the Office of the National Coordinator for Health Information Technology, part of Health and Human Services, has launched a program to correct that situation. Joining me with more, Margo Okazawa, public health analyst at the ONC. Ms. Okazawa, good to have you on.
Thank you for having me.
So people have electronic medical records, that is to say their providers have them. And I guess the question is, are people generally able to access those records about themselves? And what are you doing to help them be able to do that?
Yes. In fact, actually, our recent data brief, we have some new data that we did in partnership with the National Cancer Institute, shows that in 2017, half of Americans actually reported that they were offered access to an online medical record by a provider or insurer. And of those that were offered access, over half of them were able to view their record in this past year. So people do have access to their health information electronically. That said, there's a number of challenges that people are still facing with accessing that information. ONC recently released this new guide, the ONC Guide to Getting and Using Your Health Records, which helps patients with sort of navigating this process and helping them figure out where to begin with finding the records they need and addressing some of the challenges that patients currently face with getting access to their health information.
Well, let me ask you a question about the study that showed that 50% of people have access. That was done, you said, with the National Cancer Institute. Was this asking people with cancer or just asking the general public randomly?
Yes, so it was actually focused on cancer patients. It was through the National Cancer Institute's Health Information National Trends Survey, or HINT. And so with that, we NCIS sponsored HINT to access the impacts of health communication, specifically measuring how people access and use their health information, how people use health information technology to manage their health and health information,
yeah,
and
because
the degree to which people can engage in health behaviors.
Yeah, that 50% or 48% figure is probably, I would guess, higher than the population in general, because people with cancer are more likely to have heavy involvement with healthcare providers and need more frequent access to records because of the complexity of cancer care. Do you think it's that high for the average person that doesn't have any particular health issues?
Yeah, and that's a great point. Well, I can't quite comment on. Haven't been involved in the data too much on at least for the that side. I do believe I agree with you that I would imagine that particularly for people who don't have a health need, that yeah, the number is probably lower. I think you could probably, from our own research that we've done. Through some other work, as well as just talking with patients and understanding the landscape, we know that often the need for your health information is triggered by some sort of event. It's not in the same way as financial data where you can have it and people who don't have it's a little bit of a different category. Often what we have found that many people who don't access their records often cite that they don't have a need to. And when they do, it's often that they have a health need that triggers that request. So whether that be a recent diagnosis, a emergency situation, patients suddenly then need that data for their health and care. And that can be a very stressful time. And so I agree that people who that number might be a little bit higher, and that people actually who need their data are often in the case of in many cases need it almost urgently for a care need.
We're speaking with Margo Okazawa, public health analyst at the Office of the National Coordinator for Health Information Technology. And it's probably safe to say that there are more electronic health records in place at the average provider than there were 10 years ago. But the question is, what are you accessing? Because people on average, I'm guessing, have three or four providers if you go to the doctor, the dentist, and the dermatologist, and whatever else you might have for your special problem. They all have their own record systems. So really, it seems like people have the need to access multiple records. How do you deal with that?
That is a great question. So yes, people have access to their health information electronically, often through a patient portal. But that patient portal is often tied to all the different places that you receive care, whether that be your provider, as you were mentioning, a dental office, even your pharmacy, a lab, your insurance company. And so there's a number of different places where people have access to that information and where it could live. And additionally, those patient portals often just provide a sliver of information. It's not your full record. It might just have things like your lab results, your recent test results, vaccinations, things like that, but it might not have all the information that you might need for, say, if you're going to get a secondary diagnosis or seeking some other, going to a specialist. And so there's that's one of the major challenges that we have heard from patients is just that the number of places where their data lives, that it's not all connected, that, and that can actually be really hard and almost a job on the patient or the caregiver to go and track that down. So one of the things that we hope with this guide that we released is it recognizes this current situation that we are in, that actually there are a number of places where your health data could live, and the guide helps to direct patients to better understand the scenario that they might have multiple places where that lives, as well as helps them through the process of finding all those places, helps them with thinking about where to go to look. Also helps them with figuring out how to access that information once they get there, if they need to access more information, how to request it, and also how to kind of manage and use it. And while that is said, ONC is also working very hard on more of the future vision, the vision we really want to get to, where patients actually have access to all their data, where we're able to have a more seamless, electronic, and convenient
sure.
access in the same way that we expect with many of our other online services with healthcare.
Early on in the Obama administration, the program to help providers with grants to acquire electronic health care record systems was launched, and one of the requirements for being able to get the money was you had to have meaningful use, and meaningful use, I presume, included easy access by the patient. Is that true, and is it still the case?
Yes, that's true and still the case. Under meaningful use, there was requirements for patients to be able to view, download, and transmit their health information.
Now, is there a way in your guide? I'm wondering if people do have these multiple providers that we discussed. Can people synthesize their own record from the multiple people they might be visiting?
Of course, yes. In the guide, we do outline some ways that patients can do that. So patients can, of course, go and they can go onto their patient portals. They can download their information electronically and have it as electronic files, and then create almost their own comprehensive health record that they can then use and share with their providers that they see. And many patients, particularly those with very complex conditions or who see the doctor often, or caring for a loved one, do this already. And there's a number of apps and tools that are out there as well to help patients manage their data and often be in control of that data at the moment and gather it so they have it when they go and visit other doctors or other specialists.
And how are you getting the word out to the general public about the existence of this guide?
We are using a number of channels. One is we did announce it through a HHS news release, which did spread the word about the guide to a number of outside partners. We also have been very active on Twitter in promoting the guide, as well as through our listserv and other communications channels. We've also been working very closely with outside stakeholders and organizations to help us spread word about the guide as well, and working with our federal partners. So we are just trying to get the word out there, and also thanks to venues like this where we're also able to just spread the word.
It seems like maybe getting the word printed on those squeeze balls that doctors like to give out. That might be a good way.
Yeah, that might be.
Margo Akazawa is public health analyst at the Office of the National Coordinator for Health Information Technology. Thanks so much.
Thank you for having me.